Great. All right. Welcome, everyone. Today is Monday, August 2nd, and we are calling to order the Cameron Park CSD CCNR Committee, and the time is 5:33 p.m. And let's go ahead and start with a roll call. I guess I'll do the roll call. We'll start with Bob Dutta.
Here.
And Patricia Rivera is absent at this time. Kelly?
Present.
Monique, and that's me, I'm present. And Ellie Wooten, she is absent at this time. We hope she will join us. And that's our quorum, three of us. So we're hoping our other two members join us shortly. Moving on to approval of the agenda. Are there any comments or motions for the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
I second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. I'll go ahead and call roll call. We'll start with Bob.
Yeah.
Patricia is absent. Monique Scobie is me. I and Ellie is absent. Oh, and I miss Kelly.
Present.
Well, actually, we're approving the agenda.
Oh, that's an aye then. Sorry.
An aye. Okay. So we have passed the approval of the agenda, 3 with 2 absent. Moving on to the conformed agenda. Is there any comments or corrections to the conformed agenda? Or is there a motion?
I move to approve the conformed agenda.
And I second.
Okay, we have a first and second on the approval of conformed agenda. It looks like Jill is now available to help us out. Can you do a roll call, please? Jill?
I can't share my screen because I'm not in the office. Because I don't
know. Actually,
agenda. I apologize. I didn't think about that. Jim, if I assign you to share a screen, could you pull up the agenda?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And we have actually approved the agenda. We are now doing a roll call to approve the conformed agenda from last month. And I was hoping, Jill, that you would help us and do a roll call.
Oh, okay. Roll call is, we have got Director Wooten is not here, and community member Rivera is not here. Director Scobie?
Aye.
And Kelly Cantola?
Aye.
Bob Dutta?
Aye.
Okay, our conformed agenda has been approved, 3 ayes and 2 absent. And moving on to our open forum, it looks like we have no attendees to speak with us today. So we will therefore no need for a open forum. Moving on to our department matters, we have Jim Mogg with our department matters.
Okay. So thank you all for being here. Architectural Review Handbook. Now you all remember reviewing that, and we did do some revisions at your request. And I'm gonna, since I'm kind of driving, let me bring that up, and I can, if you'd like, I can point out what some of the changes we made. Okay, let's see, ARC Committee Handbook. There we go. And is that on your screen right now?
Yes.
It is.
Okay. One thing we found out, we're really busy here in the office, and some of the things that we take care of and manage around here, we get so busy we forgot we had already done it. So there was already a policy put together that you guys reviewed and approved. And I believe I'm looking for it so I can refresh everybody's memory. I think it was in here.
I think it was an attachment to the report, I believe. Attachment B on the report, Jim.
Yeah, so I'm to understand that the board has done the policy framework to support our handbook.
Yeah, and here it is on your screen right there. This is what you all approved. And this was basically, like you said, the framework for our handbook here. Okay, so a couple little things we fixed. We got our attachment A here at the top. We also had this dated ARC committee when they reviewed it. So we had a little bit of confusion in the last meeting on what we should call this, but since we already had a policy in place, we left this portion of it as handbook. It's basically the guidelines for the ARC committee to follow when they're working as an ARC committee member in reviewing projects. So without getting into depth as far as a good example is landscape and labeling what kind of landscape materials they can use and whatnot, that's different. That's separate from this. This is basically just their duties and their duties, their responsibilities, and forget the word, but basically whether, how they're held harmless. Limitation of liability is a good, is that there. So in architectural review committee, we did reference 460, which is the policy, 460, 461. And that was about all we changed in here. And these were per your guys' notes. Is there any questions or any more you want me to review with you on this?
And that up to our committee members, Bob and Kelly, any comments?
The only comment I have to make, you said 460 or 4060?
The policy.
Bob, it's.
This is 4061 policy.
4061, number. Yeah. So it's 4060 is a policy that establishes our standing committees. The architecture review committee was not cited in the district policies as being a standing committee of the board of directors. And it's a little confusing because you're a subset of the CC, the architecture review is a subset of the CCNR, but we felt that it was important to establish that it is a standing committee of the board and it does have an appointment process. And so I didn't bring 4060 with me, but it is the policy that says our standing committees of the board of directors is Parks and Rec, CCNR, Budget and Admin, Fire Committee, and Architecture Review Committee. So, so that's good. Architecture Review is memorialized there. And then we did take it a step further because Architecture Review Committee was making decisions about private property. We also wanted to memorialize in policy.
Jill, can I interrupt? Yes. Ellie is here.
Oh.
Under attendees.
Under attendees, thank you. Okay. Ellie, you with us? So policy 4061 does establish their broad framework for what they're responsible for. This handbook provides a little additional detail about their decisions related to private property. And if someone were to ever question it, it limits the district's risk when we make a decision. We can say we made a decision because we have this framework and policy that allows us to make this decision, and they're embedded in CCNR policy. So, so this handbook, if we wanted to make changes in the future, let's say something occurred and we felt that something needed to change, we would bring it back to the Architecture Review Committee and the CCNR Committee, but we wouldn't have to take it all the way to the Board of Directors.
That is correct.
Okay. Kelly, any comments, questions?
I mean, the only thing really from a, you know, that I would say is that it looks good from my perspective. The address in there, that would be the only thing if you want to get real technical, might want to include, you know, drop the period and add zip code in there so it's an official address.
Okay.
But everything else looks great to me.
Good.
Okay. Ellie is still joining us. Hopefully she can hear our discussion.
Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. Hear us.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Dave.
And we can see you, David.
So would we then...
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Then director...
Bye.
See
you, it's kind of hit and miss. But...
Okay, I'll try. We're still having a bit of a problem here, so
a little hurt do what I can on your end, or at least for me.
It is. I think her Wi-Fi might be a little slow today.
What?
So, Ellie, we are on our first business item. You haven't missed much. And we are discussing any comments or suggestions you have regarding the architectural review.
Is this view? Okay. Thank you. I know where you're at.
Yes, we're on the handbook. And if you had any comments or questions or feedback.
At this point, I haven't heard anything, so I really can't say.
Well, this is.
But I know exactly where you're at because I just opened it to. Two exceptions, and that's what I'm doing right now.
We're on the handbook. So I actually have some comments on the handbook. It would be nice to have our architectural, our first word spelled properly.
Oh golly.
I apologize. It was we thought we addressed it. I don't know why it came back.
And we also discussed kind of having a title page. And was that still going to be included? Because I think it would be important as it's distributed that, you know, the agency and the date and how it fits into our overall, you know, district, I think is important. Is that something you're still considering doing?
I think we had decided that this was our cover page, the policy. But
Monique, what we can do is we can do a title page if you'd like with both policies and a table of contents. Do you think that would be helpful to you?
Well, I don't want to make a bunch of extra work. I'm just trying to see how it fits in with our general. So you're actually thinking that this will be inserted behind the policy in the policy handbook?
That's the way I
call the policy handbook.
Well, I'm trying, it will be, the policy handbook is separate. And this handbook cites, I'm thinking out loud, so I apologize, I'm thinking out loud. This handbook cites the policy framework that allows for this handbook to exist. So if we were to have new architecture review committee members or even CCNR committee members, we would provide to them the policy 4061, which is architecture review policy, and then we would provide them with the handbook.
Okay, I see. I see in the black bar, the white background policy handbook, that's actually in our policy and it's called policy handbook.
Yeah, we probably should take that out. So correct the, we'll correct the spelling on architectural review and then, and this has policy handbook. The other one, our handbook does not.
So here's my big question. when I started the district, I was given a big old binder of all this stuff. And, you know, the way things are organized, just like with textbooks and so forth, is that you use these titles to sift and figure out where things connect and how they're related. And so I'm not trying to do a lot. I'm not trying to make extra work. I just want it to be clear for our new members, our new board, and our new committee members who come in and look at this, that everything makes sense.
So the district does have a policy handbook. I see where you're going now. The district does have a policy handbook. It's been called the policy handbook for a really long time. So this would be seen in our policy handbook. And then the architecture review handbook would be a subset of this policy handbook.
Okay, well, that makes sense to me, because I was like, why are we calling it a handbook? Isn't it a, you know, guidelines? But since we're our general overarching, you know, list of policies is called a handbook, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that, and again, I don't mean to be under the landscape review, it was decided that we were not going to add any type of drought. It's 1.5.3. Landscape projects are to consider fire resistant plant life and ground cover. And we did not, you know, even put comma drought tolerant or anything in there. Is that something that, I mean, we discussed last time? I don't see it here. So I just curious where it went.
1.5.3?
Yes.
Is with the attachments. Yeah,
I had it in my
last page. I'm sorry.
It was corrected. I don't know why it's not here, because I corrected it.
Okay.
So
it's in our agenda.
So Monique, if you guys approve it with the at those edits, we will make sure that they get into the handbook.
Okay. That's fine with me. Those are my only, and I'm really glad that, you know, you guys found that the, you know, we had made, the board had made the decision to add this policy so that we now have a place where our handbook makes sense. It's not just floating around by itself.
Okay. So, and thank you, Director Scobie. Just to reiterate, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything here, because in the landscape review, I did have drought tolerant in here. My notes for correction: handbook, correct architectural again, make it spelled right. Two, correct the handbook address to include the zip code so it's a complete address. Mm-hmm. And then three, drought tolerant landscape.
Yep.
Those are the three that I have. Am I missing any?
Committee? Any other thing, any other comments or no?
No.
Okay. Well, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the handbook with the edits.
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a first and a second. Jill, could you go ahead and do a roll call vote, please?
Director Scobie?
Aye.
Director Wooten?
Aye.
Patricia Rivera is absent. Kelly Cantola?
Aye.
And Bob Detta?
Aye.
And Jim, the fourth edit, let's make sure we add the date the CCNR committee approved it at the bottom.
Okay, because right, and so we'll have ARC committee's approval date and the CCNR committee's
approval. Yeah, so that'll be a total of four.
And we also discussed taking this to the board. What are your thoughts on that?
I can take it as a consent item.
I think that would be good. I think it's important that the board see that we're getting our work done here in committee.
Good.
I think you're right, Monique.
Okay, great. I guess you're next. You're still up, Jim. Let's go ahead and item B, CCNR's white paper analysis.
Okay, and this is something Joe is going to discuss with you about consolidating CCNRs.
So I'm going to start, and then Jim's going to jump in and add a little bit of context if you guys need it, or we'll just turn it over to you guys and you can ask questions. So there has been conversation, actually, since I got here in 2017, 2018, about, wouldn't it be nice if we could just consolidate all of the CCNRs, that there's close to 90 CCNRs distinct. Some of them have overlap, but there are 90 unique CCNRs. Some of them have been changed over the years and have amendments and things like that. So it's very difficult for staff to track everything. And so the thought is that why couldn't we operate within one CCNR under one umbrella, or maybe break it up into, let's say, four unique quadrants instead of one, have four. But you know, what would it look like to consolidate? And I have to tell you that, you know, from where we sit as staff, it would be really nice if we could consolidate under one umbrella, that would be really helpful for staff, for messaging and for enforcement and clarity. You know, it would be really great. But there are some difficulties. So Jim, can you go to that SWOT little chart there? So I don't know if any of you have been, you know, read anything as a SWOT exercise. So it's strengths, weaknesses,
opportunities and threats.
Yes, Ellie sounds like she's familiar with that. Strengths being, you know, attributes, which I just talked about, you know, good messaging, easy to understand. You know, we have weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so are you able to find that, Jim?
I think so. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Was this the transmittal?
It's an attachment to the transmittal. So it was, you're looking at the reports, it's report 6B.
Mine is the next page from Cameron Park Community Service District. That's in bold print. The next page over goes into the consolidation.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Keep going down, Jim. So, I filled out these four quadrants, and Jim helped me and provided me feedback. These are kind of overarching summary statements. There is a lot of detail and a lot of conversation. So strengths, I kind of hit, easy to understand and communicate, efficiency for enforcements. There's a single message if we ever wanted to do a marketing campaign.
What the heck?
Weaknesses is that each neighborhood is unique and one size may not fit all. And I think Jim has even, and even Kate prior to Jim, experienced this, is that each neighborhood has its own culture, so to speak. The CCNRs, each CCNR, and we've talked about how many we've have, each CCNR has a different threshold for changing CCNRs. Some of them require all of the property owners to agree to the changes in their CCNRs. Some of them require 50 plus one. So it changes. So getting 80, 90 CCNRs in these unique neighborhoods and then having those each neighborhood agree to the change to go under one umbrella is a very daunting task. They would have to, you know, half of them or all of them would need to agree. And each CCNR has a different number of residents that are a part of it. Some are really big and have 100 or more residents. Others are rather small. So that is a weakness of this. It's trying to get that agreement and CCNR. also staff would not have time to do this, communication campaign to initiate this change and to negotiate all of these with all of these neighborhoods. It would really need to be a community group that would need to do that. Like we said, opportunities, you know, there are advantages and opportunities if we were to consolidate under one CCNR. Significant cost reduction for CCNR's enforcement, because one message, we don't have to look it up every time we have a complaint. We would have greater compliance. There would be community engagement and partnership building. If you were to have a, you know, an effort, an initiative to consolidate, you would need to engage the community. And so you would have that as an opportunity to really engage the community about what CCNRs do in the community and how that protects home values. There would be an opportunity to address some of the changes that are needed in our CCNRs. Our CCNRs, a lot of them were done in the 70s and the 80s. It was before the number of cars per household was 2 or 3 or 4. It was when people were driving either one car or maybe 2 cars. So things like parking on the street, when you only have a 2-car garage and you can't park in your driveway, that becomes difficult, you know, just because of the change of time. So it, by changing our CCNRs and consolidating under one umbrella, it would give you an opportunity to address some of those antiquated clauses. And then lastly, some of the threats to accomplishing our goal is that it would take a long time for this initiative. It may take a year, 2 years, 3 years, and residents change. And so while you might convince one resident to support this effort, during the time that it's taken you to educate that resident, get them to agree, and then move on to the next one before you have an actual vote, that resident may pack up and move and you may have a new resident. We would need to find a way to manage a vote in each one of the CCNRs. So whether you bring in the League of Women Voters to conduct this vote, but you would need to find a way that residents felt secure in that their vote is being tallied appropriately. So that's
May I ask a question?
Yes, and that's my chart. And so I'm open to questions or suggestions or additions to the chart too.
Are they having like abnormal parking where they shouldn't be and the homeowners are upset? And is this part of the problem?
I think that is a problem in some neighborhoods, not all neighborhoods. Depending upon the CCNR, depends on whether or not you can park on the street.
Well, at one time, considering that the people who live in a home generally have a 2-car garage, normally, and can park their other 2 cars behind it if they have 4 cars and still are legal. But we had a problem in Merced, to be quite honest. So the way we handled the problem was to give 2 parking passes to every home owner. So if someone parked on the street where they shouldn't be without a parking pass, they got ticketed. And it took maybe 1 month to get that under everybody's belt, but it sure worked. So, it's a thought.
It absolutely is. So,
if I may add into here, one, I discussed this with our legal counsel also. He's like, this is a common question that comes to him a lot. And in a district the size of ours, he says it's never been accomplished. One of the reasons being is to have something like this accomplished, it would have to be a whole team either hired here by the CSD or volunteered to do it. And it's like he said, with a district as large as ours, in a perfect world, it'd be nice if it could happen in 1 to 3 years. but realistically, we're talking maybe 10. Another thing that's an issue in this is some of these CCNRs are very neighborhood specific. We have different setbacks in different neighborhoods that were designed specifically because either our watershed or the topography of the lots. Another good example is some neighborhoods only allow fire clay roofs, where other neighborhoods allow composition. Other neighborhoods will allow a combination of different type of roof treatments. Some neighborhoods have specific paint schedules and as far as what you can do paint-wise. Other neighborhoods have landscape requirements and some do not. So they're very neighborhood specific. And in order to try and consolidate them, you would lose some in neighborhoods where it's needed. And you would probably have more stricter situations on neighborhoods where it's not needed. A good example is one of our first neighborhoods, Cameron Park North number 1. It's our oldest neighborhood. However, it has the least amount of restrictions, but yet the community themselves take a lot of pride in their properties in that neighborhood, and it's very clean. It works well. Others are extremely strict, and you can tell how strict they are just by driving the streets and seeing that the houses are very consistent with each other. They look a lot alike. One of the suggestions that I've made here around staff is there are particular items in our CCNRs that I believe can be consolidated, but yet addressed not in a CCNR, but more of a guideline that would accompany our CCNRs. And Kelly Cantola, he's been a part of this already, where I'd like to put together a fence guideline that would be consistent for all neighborhoods in Cameron Park. There are a few CCNR items from neighborhood to neighborhood that are consistent with each other. And those are the ones that I'd like to address and put more together, more of a guideline in layman's terms for our community to be able to understand what their rights are in such things as like fencing. Another area where that could be done is tree trimming because of our oak tree ordinance. So that's my thought. As opposed to going after more of a consolidation, maybe we identify with those that are common from neighborhood to neighborhood and help educate through a more clear guideline on those items. That's my thought. Go ahead, Ellie.
May I ask, do the homeowners associations get involved in any of this when these people buy homes in a certain district?
HOAs are, yes. HOAs, they actually, in my experience, will insist that you understand your HOA guidelines. Now, granted, we don't manage HOAs, but I understand where you're coming from because HOAs can be much more strict, but they make it very clear that a resident moving into those HOAs do have these certain restrictions.
That's very difficult considering Cameron Park's a community. I can have a 3-foot fence, but you can have a 9, or I'm teasing, don't misunderstand me. What I'm trying to say is, why isn't most of these restrictions or such as the same in the Cameron Park area?
They're not the same because either they're county driven when that neighborhood is built. You got to understand our first CCNR in our first neighborhood came in 1962. So
I bought the book.
Yeah. So there was certain restrictions that the county had when those neighborhoods were built. As we get into today, like Silver Springs, Revere, that now has other restrictions that come from county as far as what they're going to have in their CCNR. So a lot of it is county driven. And it's also, I like to call them our forefathers, those people that design the neighborhood. They are looking for a specific quality of life when they're designing these CCNRs.
But why can't, what is it, Royal Park, that thing at the very end of the cul-de-sac? We went for years and years and years and can't get that cleared up. And then I'm not saying that's your fault by any sense of the word, Jim. Don't misunderstand me. But when I was fighting for it, brought in police to patrol once a day, we still couldn't get a settlement, a roof that wasn't black tar paper or, you know, that type thing. So how do you do that? I'm about to give up.
it's like I've, you know, to put it bluntly, and I've discussed this with some other people, we're here to educate, but I'm not a parent. I can't make somebody do something, you know? Granted, we did go to court on that particular project and we had a settlement, still can't make the guy do it.
We're a little off topic on that.
We are.
I'm sorry. I'll back this, off. You go.
Yeah, we'll swing this back to our committee.
Pardon me.
So that's my recommendation when it comes to CCNRs. Maybe identify those that are common throughout each one and help put together a more clear guideline. Because we have our biggest issues that I see are tree trimming, toys, RVs, trailers, and fences. Those seem to be the biggest three that are coming through this office.
All right, thank you. And thanks for your comments, Ellie. Our other committee members, any comments on this SWOT analysis?
Yeah, I think my real quick comments are, you know, I think, you know, I love the SWOT. That's great. It's a great way to look at it. You know, my concern going down this path is in the weaknesses, which is you are requiring, you know, 86 different groups with different levels of, you know, some CCNRs, I believe I've heard say that they require 100% vote. And I don't think you're going to get 100% out of anyone, no matter how you approach it. And I agree with the 10-year mark on it. So I think from an action perspective, what we could do is, you know, look at Jim's, you know, opportunity of, you know, possibly implementing guidelines where there are commonalities in the CCNRs. So that's my comment.
Thanks. Bob, any comment?
Oh, just what Kelly said. It's impossible to get 100% out of any community, let alone in Cameron Park. So that's a lot of cause. I wouldn't invest any effort into this at all. Suggested have some common thread, offer some directives that might be useful, would be the best way to go.
I have some comments. So with the first question, is there any benefit to reducing it to say to half? Would there be any benefit in the amount of workload that we had instead of having 86 had 44 or 43. Is there a benefit to doing that?
Reducing
in terms
what?
Of.
So Monique, are you suggesting that we choose half of, so is, let me ask a question. Are you suggesting that we choose half the CCNRs, the ones that don't maybe have a 100% compliance required, and seek just a common thread amongst all of those? Or would you survey everyone, but those that bought into it would then be annexed into this one CCNR?
Maybe a little of both, but
okay.
You know, I agree. This is a 10-year project. This is huge. You're not going to get 100%. So if we acknowledge that, it's kind of like eating an elephant. You know, we take small bites and the first bite would be low hanging fruit. If I remember from hearing that several of these, CCNRs are almost identical and there's just like one or two words or phrases or something that are changed, those might be easy to change. And maybe they only have a 50% compliance and so forth. So if there was a way where you just take small bites and we slowly consolidate, we don't have the resources over time, but just start with a low hanging fruit and perhaps we can consolidate 4 or 10 and just take this as a long-term project in order to do that. And, you know, I understand we don't have the resources, but we do have community members who have, you know, have problems with their car. You know, they have too many cars or whatever, and they keep getting cited and they're not happy with the CCNRs. And they said, well, we need to change that. Why can't we change that? We might be able to reach some of those as our assistants, as our volunteers. And I know that I also realize that takes resources to do that. So my other question would be, this could be something that us as a board could put in our budget, that we're going to go ahead and allot 10 grand a year to start this project of trying to, you know, consolidate our CCNRs, with the idea that this helps our neighborhood, because we know we are limited in the amount of money that we collect. We only collect $12 per parcel. If we could actually, you know, make it so that we can fit within that $12 per parcel by slowly, you know, reducing the numbers of our CCNRs, utilizing volunteers, you know, there might be an opportunity there, especially when we do the other ones. Yes. And it could also be a long-term opportunity to keep our budget in check, you know, because you've already noted in there that there's cost reductions. And let's see, perhaps too, you know, that idea of the guidelines, I think that's good, but something that we are really pushing forward in our community right now is fire safety. And perhaps we could start incorporating, should we take this project on and come up with a plan on how to approach it, that we could start incorporating fire safety as doing that. And we do have fire safety opportunity grants that have come forward. Our CCNI grant is coming to mind, that we could perhaps use some of that type of funding to actually start implementing CCNR changes, also adding in fire safety and so forth. So I guess I'm not really ready to give up on this project. I think there's some opportunities if we looked at it and realized it's a 10-year plan, you know, consolidate, start with the easy, low-hanging fruit. Here's another question. Escalators. There's the CCNRs, some of our, no, those are LLADs have escalators in them, mm-hmm. not our CCNRs. So I don't know if there's an opportunity there to address that. That might just be a different funding mechanism. Anyway, those are my comments.
And Director Scobie, you've got a good point there. I mean, like Cameron Park 1, 2, and 3 are very similar to each other. And I think we should discuss this further at other dates. But, you know, like you said, low hanging fruit, 1, 2, and 3 might even be able to be used as more like a test product in this venture. Okay. Because I'm also concerned about whether or not it would open up a can of worms and maybe have, because there's a lot of people out there that don't even want their CCNRs. So that's just my comment. And I think we should discuss this further and brainstorm it all together. So.
Yeah. My one comment, Director Scobie, kind of in response to there is, I agree. I think there are some that you could easily throw a ring around and look at. The one thing that I would note is that after doing some analysis on some of the budget items for some of the different groups, a lot of our different areas have a surplus of funds, where those funds, we don't know what to do with them. And I believe there's even some areas where we're looking at some refunds back to the residents because there's so much money there. So, that would be one caution I would make is that, you know, the cost reduction for operations, you know, if there is a surplus there, not saying that that can be used to take on those operations, but some of those communities do have surpluses.
Yeah, I might be confusing our LLADs with our CCNRs. Mm-hmm. I think they are distinct and separate.
Yeah, they are.
I might have muddied the waters there.
Not too badly. And we will be talking about revenue enhancements and LLADs and special assessments and CCNRs next month. So, you know, it was a good segue into next month's presentation.
Well, if what I would like to see is if we have the resources to, I mean, Jim's already aware of a couple and a test case. I think that's a great idea. I think maybe we want to pursue that and have you guys come back next month with some ideas on how we might approach that.
So we've got a work plan that Jim and I and the district are working through right now. We've got our second presentation to you for next month regarding revenue enhancements. I know that everyone is concerned about the $12 per parcel and that there is not a built-in escalator. And so how can we raise more money, revenues to support CC&R and ARC processes? Absolutely, we can take a look at this, having even 40 of the CC&Rs under one umbrella instead of 86 under totally separate ones would be, you know, much better, you know.
Yes.
What I'd like to do is
makes sense.
Yeah, is have our staff, you know, complete what we have as far as our work plan goes for 2021. You know, this analysis, this white paper analysis was due to the CC&R committee, so we got that to you. This may be a big enough project, and also if it requires a budget allocation, that this becomes a part of the work plan for next year.
That makes sense to me. I respect those work plans. Those come from committees. The committees put a lot of thought into that, and I don't want to stomp on that or derail it. So if this becomes a work plan in 6 months and something that's important, then I just would like to not forget it. Well, I won't forget it, but if I'm not on the committee, then it might get slid away.
Well, I don't. I think that we're keeping on initiatives for the 2022 work plan. This is certainly a good one. And what I'm hearing, and I think Jim is too, is that there is support for making CC&Rs easier. And whether it's guidelines that are similar to all CC&Rs regarding fences and storage of your RVs and boats, or if it's consolidating, you know, some of our CC&Rs that are have those common threads and are really similar, you know, we can certainly look at doing those things and you know, and improving our situation.
Okay, great. Any other comments on the SWAT? Anybody want to take a swipe at the SWAT? Okay.
After this meeting, if you feel like there are things that we're missing in our SWOT analysis, you know, feel free to email Jim and I.
Well, actually, one of them was, is there an opportunity to add escalators in there? I don't know if there is. And then what was the other one? Oh, opportunity to add in fire safety was one of them.
Okay.
And perhaps any other environmental concerns that come out of our future environmental idea. So that's what I had.
Okay.
Oh, and another question. Under threats, the very last item says dedicated group of resident volunteers to be responsible for initiative. Why is that under threats?
I think it could be listed as either. I think that sometimes your dedicated group of volunteers comes and goes. And so I guess that that's where we saw that as potentially a threat, is that you needed to make sure that you had a dedicated group of volunteers that was going to see this through maybe 3-5 years or more. So that's kind of what we were thought that that would be difficult to secure because of the duration of the potential project.
Okay, maybe you could clarify that then.
Okay.
Or you could have a dedicated group of volunteer who will be in unison in opposition to all of it.
That's yes. What I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, you could put in opposition, but I also see that as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could go both ways.
Yeah.
And I've got some ideas that I've been sharing with Jill, and we'll discuss this further and come back to you with some more input.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments before we move on?
Nope.
Okay, thank you for that. I was really looking forward to seeing that. I'm coming back to my agenda here. Our next item is our staff report.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was reading that right there.
Oh, before I need to interrupt, do we have a meeting after this, Jill?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so our monthly staff report. In summarization, 7A, open violation CC&R manager case detail report. We have two projects that were referred to legal. We have, and one of them is outdated. The new one we'll get to, we have a staff update to you. We'll review that when we get to the staff update. We have no pre-legal notices out. We have 5 final notices out, 15 initial notices, 1 variance that I still need to follow up with, and the court decision on Royal Park Court, as Ellie pointed out. Didn't do any door hangs last month, and we had a total of 4 new cases, 1 cleared case. Today we had another couple of cleared cases, so that'll be on next month's report. In architectural review 7B, we had 17 projects reviewed, 16 were approved, and 1 was held over. The held over item is coming back tomorrow morning, and they've addressed everything that the ARC committee would like to have seen in their revisions.
Not bad.
Any questions?
Nope.
Did our friends with the fence get approved by ARC?
They have their application in for tomorrow's review.
Oh, great.
They sent renderings and photos of what they're going to do, and they did a really good job on their submittal. So
perfect.
I think it'll fly through, no problem. Any other questions?
So, you know, I've just been keeping tabs on your total cases open. You have 62, a little bit higher than you've had. And I understand there's going to be an ebb and flow for the total number of cases open. I'm just curious if you feel like this is like a normal manageable load.
No, it's at this point, it is very difficult to manage. The reason being is because our ARC department is very, very busy. If you remember, now this is kind of a short month, as you can see the dates from 7/6 to 7/22, 17 projects reviewed, where last month, I think we were in the 30s because we had more of a 5-week month with I think we had the holiday, so it was pushed out. And just already in July, we had revenue was quite impressive, $4,200 on revenue just from ARC. So I do pay a lot of attention to ARC because that helps out our budget and we need it. CC&R, I will admit it's a lot for this office to keep up on. And we're working on addressing that at this point. So okay. It's something that Jill and I have been working on to kind of get on top of the CC&R side of things as well.
All right, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, moving on to our next item, staff updates on Archwood.
Item number 8, staff updates. Case number CCR 20-10493808 Archwood Road. Last month, you guys approved to have us move to legal. We've got that letter done. Legal just got our approval today to send that notice out because we still have yet to receive applications for them to clean up their violations. So moving forward with legal.
Okay, and no questions on that. And then we move on to our next item for future and CSNR committee agendas. It looks like you guys are working on revenue enhancement somehow.
I'm going to bring a PowerPoint presentation to you next month that talks a little bit about how we can increase revenues for CCNR office, either through fees, through assessments, who has authority to raise fees, who has authorities to approve assessments, things like that. So we're going to give the CCNR committee a little snapshot of revenue enhancements in the public sector.
And was this one of the items on the work plan like the white paper was?
Yep. And actually, I don't know that it was on the work plan, but during the strategic plan, this was asked of staff to bring to the CCNR committee.
Okay. We look forward to seeing that. All right. And then items, moving on to our next items to take to the board of directors. I think we're going to send forward the correctly spelled architectural review handbook as a consent item.
I'm sorry, so sorry, director.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Actually, you know what, Jim? I can't spell to save my life.
No, so. But it's embarrassing. And that
I think that I might be just poking fun at you because I get it poked at me all the time.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, well, tooth comes out. So, all right, so moving on to matters to and from members and staff. Let's go ahead and start with our members, our committee members. Do you have any matters you'd like to share?
I don't have anything to share.
I kind of said what I was going to say.
Thank you.
No updates on my end.
Well, I have something to share. I live at the lake, right? And my windows overlook Cameron Park Lake, and there is a beaver lodge there, and I'm like right above the beaver lodge. We've been watching this thing grow for years, and we've named the beavers Benjamin and Betsy, and then we're like, well, maybe little Billy will show up one day. Well, Billy is here. So we now have a bouncing baby brown bubbling baby beaver. Just thought I'd share.
Very cool.
And anything from staff?
I just want to alert everyone that we may be to in-person meetings starting in September. So our September committee meetings are actually going to take place on August 30th and 31st. So the CCNR committee is going to be on August 30th. If our solar project is wrapped up in the community center parking lot, we're going to have that meeting in person. But if it's not, then we'll still be Zoom. So just, you know, pay attention, number one, to the date. Also, and see if it's going to be in person or via Zoom. So just wanted to give you all a heads up.
I would like to ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ellie.
I was contacted by a lady from Ponte Palermo regarding the elderly's walking around the lake and the cost of it. And they were asking me if I would ask you, and it's whatever you say, if they couldn't all come at one time, and they're all very elderly people, and walk the lake and then leave, without each one of them having to pay to do it. I know this is off the wall, but I have to present it to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate off the wall questions from our community members. But what I'll do, Ellie, is I'll ask you to stay on after Monique finishes the CCNR committee meeting, and then maybe you and I can hang on and talk after our CCNR committee meeting. Is that okay?
Fine.
Okay.
Great. All right, thank you, everybody. I think that leads to our next item is titled adjournment.
Oh.
So do we have a motion to adjourn?
Absolutely, I move to adjourn.
All right.
Everybody
good? Okay. Thank you. We'll go ahead and sign off and we'll leave a couple of you online. So thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody, for your input.
You.
Okay, so Ellie, I don't have a way to do that for that group of ladies. But there are ways they can ask for funding. We have funding available for those who cannot afford to buy a pass. So if someone can't afford to buy a pass, they can apply, and we have some funding that can help them out.
But if I tell her that, I have to be very honest with you, we'll have all of them applying.
Well, and we don't have to.
How much is it to walk through there? $3?
It's $3.
Okay. So what do I tell them?
Why don't you just tell them to call me?
Oh, you don't. Okay.
You can just tell them to call me, and I am more than happy to talk with them.
I appreciate that, Jill.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't want you into the, you know.
You know. I don't want to be there either.
Right.